We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
You know, I initially said okay, but not anymore.
No.
So we just ignored you.
Yes.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
End up staying?
My mom and dad's house.
Okay. On July 10th, did you understand Charles was also flying into Phoenix?
Yes.
Did you see Charles on the 10th?
No, I did not.
Did you see your sister Lori on the 10th?
No, I did not.
So you told us you stayed with your parents. What did you do on the 10th?
They picked me up and we went to lunch. And then we just, I think, hung out at the house.
And you said your son, Zach, lived here at the time?
Yes.
Who was he living with at that time?
I think he was living with my mom and dad.
Okay. So although you didn't talk with Charles on the 10th, did you have an understanding of what he was going to do the morning of the 11th?
Yes.
What was that?
He was going to go pick up JJ, his son. It was his turn to, I guess, have him for a few days or whatever.
Okay. Were Charles and JJ really close?
Yes.
So the morning of July 11th, you were not expecting to get together with Charles at 7 in the morning, right?
No.
Did you get a text message from Charles?
Yes, I did.
And did you learn where Alex was?
Yes, I did.
Where did you learn Alex was?
Alex was at Lori's house.
When you learned this, was Charles texting you sort of in real time as he is coming to the house?
Yes.
Explaining to you what he's seeing and what's going on?
Yes.
And are you responding back to him?
Yes.
So you're at your mom and dad's house when you start getting these text messages from Charles?
Yes.
When you learned that Alex was at your sister's, what were you thinking?
I just thought something weird is happening because he never answered my text the whole day I was there, never returned a call. And then all of a sudden he said he's at Lori's house and I didn't even know what to think at that point. I thought something was off.
So immediately you knew something was off.
Yeah.
From the prior day where Alex ghosted you to now he's at your sister's that morning when Charles was going over to pick up JJ.
Yes.
Were you concerned that Alex was at your sister's house?
A little concerning, yes.
Have you seen text messages that you and your brother-in-law, Charles, had sort of making the flight reservations and leading up to the morning of the 11th?
Yes.
And were those all messages that you two had as you're trying to figure out how to have this intervention?
Yes.
and then ultimately what you are seeing and saying that morning at 7:30 in the morning?
Yes.
I've shown defendant exhibit 210, if I can have a paralegal approach with that.
Go ahead.
Adam, if you can take a look at those and let me know if you recognize those as text messages that you had with Charles, sort of the 9th, 10th, and 11th, as you are interacting leading up to that morning and including the morning of the 11th.
Yes.
Your Honor, the state will move to admit Exhibit 210 pursuant to 8031 as present sense impressions.
Yes, Your Honor, we object in lieu of that is a report and not the full extraction.
All right, well, may I see the... That particular objection wouldn't be a... wouldn't prohibit admission. It would go toward weight, but give me a second here. I'll admit 210.
And if I may publish it, then, Your Honor. And if I could have the elbow. Thank you. Adam, I'm going to start sort of going back to... in Exhibit 210, the conversations that you and Charles were having as you're trying to come up with a way to have this intervention, all right? So you learned that Charles was reaching out. Well, let me ask you this. You had learned from Charles about this fictitious email, correct?
Yes.
Did you learn that Charles had reached out to Lori about it?
One more time?
Did you learn that Charles had reached out to Lori about this email?
Yes.
Did you learn that he had reached out to Chad Daybell's wife about it?
I think I remember that.
Was he... These are text messages. Were you also receiving emails from Charles?
Yes.
Does this sort of array of messages start to involve where you and Charles are talking about having you come out to Arizona to help with this intervention?
Yes.
And so do we see on the 9th you letting him know that you could fly out tomorrow and come home Saturday or Sunday?
Yes.
Do we see, as you continued on, he tells you that he could fly you in on Southwest, and he's telling you he's just right now landing in L.A., right?
Yes.
And you knew he traveled a lot for work.
Yes.
When we get to the 9th at 9:11 a.m., did you get a message from Charles about how you were going to get everyone together without Lori knowing that you're going to have this intervention?
Yes.
And is that one of the ideas where you indicated that I'll go see Lori at her house and have a talk with her and keep your phone on record?
Yes.
So that was sort of one idea of a potential way to show the stake president that she was having these ideas outside the LDS faith?
Yes.
Does Charles kind of tell you he's not sure that that's really going to work?
Yeah.
He says, I think she'll leave, but it's worth a try.
Yeah.
Did you then suggest also have a family dinner with everyone and then say, always leave my phone on to record what I say and what everyone else says?
Yes.
And then you go on to say that's to have proof for Holmes. Who's Holmes?
President Holmes. He was our stake president, or their stake president.
You were in Wichita, but he was the stake president here.
I lived here before, and he was in my ward, so I know him.
So when you're talking about the stake president, Holmes is who it actually is?
Yes.
Okay. On the 9th, does Charles tell you that got it, but honestly, if you, Zach, Brandon, and me go to him, that should be enough? She will feel like we ambushed her, but something has to be done. She'll be real careful what she says. What, had you brought Brandon into this yet? Like, did you have a plan to have him come with you?
No, but Brandon played basketball with us on that night. So me and Zach and Brandon played basketball where President Holmes played basketball at a church. So that was that reference.
Okay. So you thought, if we go to the church, Brandon will be there and he can help you.
Yeah,
talk about
say
this.
That. Yeah.
Okay. But Brandon's not part of this conversation right here, right?
No.
Then does it kind of go back to Charles asking for your information so he can make your flight reservations?
Yes.
Okay. Then at 1:13 p.m., does Charles let you know that your flights are booked and that he emailed that to you?
Mm-hmm.
And then does he go on to say, I'm really uneasy about how she will respond not only to you, but to me and Zach and Brandon, right?
Yes.
In talking with Charles and this intervention, was there a constant concern of how she would respond to trying to take away her temple recommend?
Yes.
Was some of that based upon your understanding of the things she had said to Charles in the past?
That and others. Apparently, Lori was flighty. When Charles tried to serve her divorce papers, she disappeared and nobody knew where she was. So in Charles's mind that she could be flighty and just take off again where nobody would know where she is. So there was some definite reference to that as well.
Okay. Then it goes on to say, I'll pick up JJ and take him to school. So that's, you knew what he was doing that next morning, right?
Yes.
And you said she'll be there, right?
Yes.
Friday the same. So you knew his idea was he was going to be with his son in the mornings, Thursday and Friday?
Yes.
And then you said she'll be highly suspicious about recording. If you can bring a second device and put your phone on the counter or turn it off, it might help. Is that sort of the same idea that he was unsure that she would trust you showing up there and trying to ask her about those things?
Yes, this was all just like it seemed like Charles was just desperate, and he wanted to do anything he could to, this last ditch effort to try to shake Lori loose of whatever she was under some spell that he said. So, you know, that's basically what happened.
And then does he go on again to talk about that he really thinks the only thing that's going to break her out of this is going to Holmes?
Yeah. Yes.
And that she's hurting too many families and that he's upset his is gone.
Yes.
Does he say that he still loves her?
Yes.
And does he think that she's basically potentially gone forever?
Yes.
And then we see that he corrected slots to Lori, right?
Yes.
So, typo?
Yes. Lots of typos.
On July 10th at 3:34, do you get a text from Charles asking if you're in Phoenix?
Yes.
And do you respond, yes, you're going to Summers, and that you'll call him?
Yes.
And then does Charles let you know he's got a meeting, but he'll try to call you before he goes to see Lo? Who is Lo?
Lo is Lori.
So people will call her Lo or Lolo?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you remember if you talked to Charles on the 10th?
On the 10th? What day was that?
The day before. So when you flew in, did you ever talk to Charles?
No, I don't remember talking to him then.
So even though you guys had attempted to call, you don't recall if you ever spoke with him that evening or afternoon?
Right.
So at this point, you'd said you went to Summers in the text messages, and then later you stayed at your parents' for the night?
Yes.
And then you knew that Charles would be going to pick up his son the next morning. Did you assume that you and Charles would meet up or talk sometimes later that day?
I figured so.
Okay. But you had no scheduled timeline for that?
Nothing planned.
Okay. So next in Exhibit 210, we see text messages from July 11th of 2019 at 7:35 a.m. where Charles texted you, Al is here. And then just a couple seconds later, he said, at Lori's. Was this shocking to you?
Yes.
And what did you respond back? Did you say, really, I wonder why he never called me back?
Yes.
And then we see that you wrote at 7:36 and 28 seconds, they are planning something. Why did you write that?
Because Alex not answering his phone the whole day and me calling him and texting him, not knowing where he's at. Nobody in my family said they heard from him or knew where he was. All that is very suspicious to me. And then Alex being at Lori's house that morning felt like something was really off.
So when you told Charles they're planning something, Charles responded back, absolutely. Did you then let him know that you were supposed to spend the night at Alex's house? She probably blocked that.
Yes.
Did Charles respond to you, what you do is up to you?
Yes.
So were you kind of upset at your brother for telling you you could stay with him and then ghosting you, ignoring you?
Yes.
Were you upset at him for being at Lori's house when Charles was going there just to pick up JJ?
Yes.
Did you then text him, I'm going to put the pressure on to have him come get me right now, see what he says?
Yes.
Did you, in fact, text your brother?
Yes.
Did he respond back?
No.
As we're going along here, we see that each of these are being read sort of in this short period of time, these couple minutes that Charles is here as he's driving in. After you texted him about putting the pressure, texted Charles about putting the pressure on to have him come get me right now, did you then say okay to Charles?
Yes.
And then we see again that at 7:49:34 a.m., you texted Charles, me and Zach are going to the Steak Center tonight at 8 to play basketball. Holmes is always there, either playing ball or interviewing people. I will try to catch him and have a conversation with my old friend.
Yes.
What was that about?
That was just part of the plan that Charles initially came up with to get somehow get in front of the stake president. That night, he's the stake president. He interviews people for Temple Recommends and also plays basketball afterwards. So that was just a thought of maybe this could be something that we could do to help with that situation.
Okay. Now, up until 7:37 and 7, you had been interacting with Charles, right? You would respond and you were getting some text messages back from him.
Yes.
We see after 7:37 where he texts you, what you do is up to you, that he didn't respond back to any of your other comments, right?
Right.
So when you sent him at 7:37 and 29 seconds that you're going to put the pressure on him, you meant Al?
Yes, Alex.
To come get you, Charles didn't respond to that?
No.
And in fact, it shows that that message was read at 12:13 p.m. versus the earlier messages that were read sort of right in time.
Mm-hmm.
Is that yes?
Yes.
And when you told Charles that you and Zach were going to go to the stake center to play basketball and see if you could find Holmes, did you get a response from Charles?
No.
And again, we see that that was read at 12:13, correct?
Yes.
Did you go talk with Holmes that night?
I went to go play basketball, but he wasn't there.
Was it just you and Zach?
Yes.
During the day of July 11th, at any time, did you learn that Charles Vallow had been shot?
No.
So Lori did not call you and tell you that Charles had been shot?
No.
Alex didn't call you to tell you that he'd shot your brother-in-law?
No.
Anyone in your family talked to you about it?
Nope.
How about the next day, Friday, July 11th? Did Lori tell you Charles had been shot?
No.
Alex contact you to tell you that he'd shot Charles?
No.
Anyone in your family talked to you about that?
No.
Did you decide to go visit a friend in Tucson on Saturday the 13th now?
Yes.
What were you going down there for?
Going to see my friend Eric.
And did anyone come with you?
Yes, Zach did, my son.
Okay. When you went down there, did you talk with Eric about what's going on?
Yeah, I just thought it was really fishy that I haven't heard from Charles. I didn't know if he took JJ and just was having one-on-one time with JJ. I didn't know if Lori and him were getting back together and Lori told him not to talk to me. My mind was spinning. Like, I had no clue what was going on.
Had you talked to any of your family about it? Were you still keeping that intervention thing secret from them? At that point?
No, at that point, but I think nobody had heard from, I asked if anybody had heard from Alex, and nobody said that they heard from Alex in my family. But at that point, I was there spending time with my son, Zach, also to help Charles with what he wanted to try to get an intervention with Lori, and also to see my friend Eric, because I live in Wichita, so I was trying to do three things at one time on my short visit.
So on the 11th or 12th, though, were you still keeping that sort of secret that you and Charles had been wanting to do an intervention on Lori?
Yes.
You weren't telling your family, like, I don't know why we're not doing this.
Charles asked me not to tell anybody.
And was that actually sort of a message you guys had talked about of who in your family might prevent any type of intervention?
Yes.
And who in your family were you guys concerned with if they learned about the intervention might try to stop it?
Mom and Dad, Summer.
Alex, too?
Alex, yes.
So even though you're here and you're seeing your family and you're seeing your son, you don't want to tell them a lot about Charles because you're trying to still keep that quiet in case he does want to go forward with it.
Exactly, yes.
So you're in Tucson and you start talking to your friend about Charles.
Yes.
Do you learn at some point that Charles has been killed?
Yes. I was talking with Eric saying it just something doesn't feel right. I haven't heard from Charles, and usually he would text me or send me a message or something. And then Eric asked me, he goes, well, what's his last name? And I said, Vallo. And he was on his computer, and he just Googled Charles Vallo. And he said it popped up that he's been killed by his brother-in-law.
So you learn this. What is going through your mind now?
Just everything, chaos. I had a knot in my stomach. Just probably one of the worst feelings I've ever felt in my life.
Obviously, you had been concerned that something was being planned when you told Charles that on the morning of the 11th, right?
But well,
not that.
Not that, but yeah, it felt like something was off that why Alex would be at Lori's house that morning.
Did you know your brother Alex to carry guns with him?
Yes.
Did he regularly go shooting with guns?
Yes.
Prior to Charles being shot and killed, did you ever tell Lori that you were going to be trying to do this intervention with her?
No.
Prior to Charles being shot, did you ever tell Alex, you know, hey, I'm going to stay with you, but we're trying to do an intervention with Lori?
No.
What about your parents? Did you ever tell them you were going to try to do an intervention?
No.
Your sister Summer?
No.
So if your sister told detectives a couple hours after Charles was shot that she was confronting Charles about you and Charles talking and texting, it wasn't something that you told her about?
No.
You told us that you are LDS. Have you ever taught Sunday school?
Yes.
Can you tell us about the story of Nephi?
Nephi?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Nephi was a prophet in the Book of Mormon. It's the first chapter. He is a prophet, very humble and faithful servant of the Lord. Ironically enough, his brothers tried to kill him at one point. But he actually ended up going to Jerusalem to get these plates back, and he was run off, came back, and then went back again because the Lord asked him to. And when he did, the King Laban, who was actually a wicked king, was laying on the ground drunk in front of him, and Nephi was told to kill Laban.
Who was he told by?
The spirit, or, yeah, okay. God.
So God was using a Holy Spirit to tell him to kill Laban? And
yes.
Did he?
Yes, he did.
Was that something he anguished over?
Yes.
But ultimately, it was a justified killing?
Yes.
So was the concept that it was better for Nephi to kill this one evil man and sort of benefit the nation and his descendants?
Yes.
Were you aware that Charles, that your sister had told people that Charles was possessed by evil spirits?
Yes.
Were you aware that your sister had told people that your brother your brother-in-law, Charles, was dark.
Objection. Calls for hearsay.
It's whether or not he was aware of it.
Whether or not he's aware, he can answer yes or no.
Yes.
When you and Charles were talking about this intervention, were you trying to help your sister come back to mainstream LDS beliefs?
Yes.
So it wasn't just Charles, but also her?
Yes.
You told us that your friend had Googled and learned that Charles was killed. Did you know at that time it was by your brother Alex?
That's what the article said. So yes, he told me that.
What did you do after you learned that?
Freaked out for a little bit, cried, didn't know what to do. Thought my world was coming apart. Then I got angry a little bit, and then called my. I think the first thing I did, I called Kay, who's Charles's sister, and asked her, because she's the only one that I felt safe calling after knowing my family was involved in this or thinking of this, that I asked her if she knew that Charles was dead, and she said she just learned of it too.
Did you learn from your friend when, because it's now the 13th when you learned this, right?
Yes.
Did you learn when that happened?
Yes, I did.
So you knew on that Saturday, the 13th, that Charles had been killed that morning?
Yes.
Of July 11th?
Yes.
Did you ever come back to Phoenix and confront anyone in your family about this or talk to them about it?
Yes. After I talked to Kay, then I called my mom and asked her if she knew that Charles was dead. And she said yes. And I said, what's going on? And she said, you tell me what's going on. And at that point, I thought that was bizarre that she would say that. So I said, well, we need to sit down and talk. And she said, yes, we do. And so me and Zach got in the car and drove back to Phoenix.
Did you go to your mom's house?
Yes, I did.
Did that conversation go well?
No.
Did this create a break in your relationship with your mom?
Yes.
Did you stick up for Charles?
Yes.
Did sticking up for Charles create issues between you and most of your family?
Yes.
Did you continue to stick up for Charles even with that happening?
Yes.
After you had that argument with your mom, what did you do?
Me and Zach left her house, and we were staying at Summer's house, my sister, who was away on vacation. And we were staying at her house, and we went back to her house. We were watching her dog.
You were supposed to leave the next morning, Sunday, to go back to Wichita. Did you return back home?
Yes, we did.
Did your son go with you this time?
Yes, he did.
After this whole incident happened, did you not talk with your family for a long time?
Yes.
Did it cause a lot of friction in your family?
Yes.
Have you started to try to talk with your family some?
Yes.
I have no other questions, Your Honor.
Cross?
Mr. Cox, how long has it been since we've seen each other in person?
Don't know.
When was the last time you saw me?
I don't recall.
So, has it been a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years,
something
6 years,
like
7 years, 8 years?
Something.
Okay. So, you have no idea?
Nope.
You have no idea when the last time you saw me in person?
I don't know the year or how many years it's been.
Okay, so did you see me at Colby's wedding in January 2018?
No, I was not there.
You didn't come to Colby's wedding?
No, I did not.
So did you see me sometime that year at my house?
Possibly.
Where Colby got married? That house.
I did see you at that house, yes.
At least one time?
Yes.
So possibly in 2018?
Yes.
And when was the last time we had any communications?
The last time I remember our communications was you and I were speaking in the kitchen when the family was over.
Okay. So you think that was that time in 2018?
I think so.
Okay. And were we eating my green chili chicken enchiladas?
Do not remember that.
You do not remember that?
Nope.
Is that what I made every time we had a family get together, which was like 10 times a year?
I don't remember that.
Okay. And when was the last time that we had a phone call or text message?
I have no idea.
Could it possibly be around that exact same time?
Possibly.
Okay. So that was possibly in early 2018?
Yes.
Who do you think initiated the final communication in our relationship?
Who concluded it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So right now it's 2025, is that correct?
Yes.
And so we haven't spoken in about 8 years, would that be correct?
Probably 7 or 8 years.
Okay. So would you say up until that point that how often would we communicate before that?
Before what?
Before 2018.
Probably on a regular basis. Once a month, twice a month, three times a month.
Like a call or a text message?
Yes.
Just keeping in touch?
Yes.
You know of us living in Hawaii, and you were living in Kansas at the time?
Yes.
And in your career, you lived in lots of different places, is that correct?
Yes.
Austin?
Yes.
Dallas?
Yes.
New York?
Yes.
Wichita?
Yes.
Sacramento?
Yes.
Did I miss anything?
Others.
And I was in Texas?
Yes.
Arizona?
Yes.
Hawaii?
Yes.
So would you say that we were not physically close during the past 20 years?
Yes, I would say that.
So our communication would be solely family get-togethers, occasional text messages. Is that correct?
And phone calls, yes.
Okay. So, Mr. Cox, did you see or hear or personally witness me conspire with my brother Alex Cox to murder my husband Charles Vallow?
Repeat that again.
Okay. Did you see with your eyes or hear with your ears or personally witness me conspire with my brother, Alex Cox, to murder my husband, Charles Vallow?
No.
Thank you. No more questions.
Redirect.
Have you talked to your sister since Charles was shot and killed?
No.
So, since that happened, you
cut off all communications with her?
Yes.
Prior to that, you were being asked about 2018 being at Lori and Charles's house. Was that the time where Lori told you she was becoming a celestial being?
Yes.
And the time where she was telling you other ideas that were not in line with the LDS faith?
Yes.
After you had heard those statements by your sister, you told us that she had asked you if you thought she was crazy, right?
Yes.
And you had responded back how?
I don't know if you're crazy, but what you're telling me is not true.
After you told her that her beliefs were not true, did that sort of end your talking with her?
Yes.
You were asked if you personally saw, heard your sister Lori conspire to kill Charles. Were you there that morning?
No.
Were you the person who was supposed to, though, be with Alex on the 10th into the morning of the 11th? You spent the night with him?
If I would have spent the night with him, yes.
So that stood out to you because you had made plans with your brother, right?
Yes.
And instead, you learned he was at Lori's house?
Yes.
You told us that you thought it was odd that your brother would be over at your sister's house at 7:30 in the morning.
Yes.
And you were aware that your brother had guns.
Yes.
JJ was... Charles was going there to pick up JJ, right?
Yes.
And so... Did it seem odd to you that your brother would bring a gun that was loaded with extra magazines that was not safe to your sister's house where JJ was?
Objection. Out of scope. This is not just a redirect. This is not just a redirect.
Hey, I didn't ask for argument. Okay. The objection's overruled.
What's the question?
Sure. Did it stand out to you that your brother... who knew JJ, would bring a loaded gun and extra ammunition to the house where JJ was running around?
Well, I didn't know at the time.
Yeah.
You're saying afterwards?
Yeah, you learned afterwards your brother killed him, right?
Yes.
And when we're talking about this conspiracy and things that are going on, did that... seem odd to you that your brother would bring a loaded gun and extra ammunition in this unsafe way to a house where your, you know, sister's son, JJ, lived?
Yeah, it seems extreme.
When you were talking to your family after this happened, did you actually tell them that you believed that Lori and Alex had conspired to kill Charles?
Yes.
Why was that?
Because Lori had told people that Charles was no longer living, that some guy named Ned was inside of his body, that there's a zombie living inside of him. And Alex didn't respond to any of my text messages when I was supposed to be with him. And he was at that house that morning. Lori talking crazy about how she's a translated being. All these things all added up into that moment and that morning. Once I found out on Saturday that Charles was shot and killed, no doubt on my mind that they killed him. That's a feeling that I got.
And you told your family that?
Yes.
No other questions.
The last line of questioning from the possession of the gun on, I think the defendant's right, was technically beyond the scope of her cross. So based on that, I'll allow the defendant, if she wants to recross on those issues, if she elects to, may do so now.
Okay.
questions, Your Honor.
All right. Are there any questions from any member of the jury? Not seeing any, sir, you can step down. You can step down.
Thanks.
State can call its next witness.
Thank you. I may go get her.
Go ahead.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.